This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, April 14th, 2024. Yogiisms. It ain't the heat, it's the humility.
Well, good morning, Connection Church.
Good morning.
Good morning. Isn't this a great day God's given us?
Amen.
Man, let's give God a hand, huh? Yeah. Man, what a glorious, glorious day. And what makes it extra special is every one of you being here and we can be together this morning. You at home, you're with us too. We're so glad you joined us wherever you are online. And praise God. Praise God.
Good morning, Connection. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who've been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm looking at, is that Wes? So, in our Friday update, a couple weeks ago, you guys, thank you for coming back after that huge faux pas. They had a new baby, Wes and Anna, and so we said sympathy to Wes and Anna Trout.
Well, wait a minute. You know, if you have several kids, some days... just saying.
So we found out some of you do read it because we got some feedback on that immediately. Is her,
right there.
Is that Lil? What's the name? Asher. Lord, we thank you for Asher. We thank you for him. We thank you for his parents. We thank you that we got to do their wedding a couple years ago, and now here's Asher, that they're a part of our church family. And we just bless Asher, and we know that he will grow to be someone who loves you because his parents do, and they will teach him well. We thank you for them and their other kiddos. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're praising, not sympathize, or sympathize, not whatever that
is. We corrected it the following week, you know, to congratulations. We're like, oh my gosh, thank you. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you so much for today. Thank you that we could gather here as a family of God, here in person and online. Settle us in so that we can give you the attention that you deserve, Lord. As we hear your word in scripture, thank you for our mission at Connection to connect people with Jesus and the new life that he offers. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. So today we continue our series called Yogiisms. And if you weren't here last week, let me explain. Yogi Berra was a Major League Baseball player in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. In fact, a very good Major League player. He won like 10 World Series as a player and then three more as a coach manager. His number 8 was retired. If you saw that video, it was number 8, the guy with 8 on his back. Not 14, but the 8 guy.
Well, I'm looking at the video. I didn't even know what number he was. I'm like, yeah. Well, where is he?
So that's what I'm wondering. Everybody, number 8, you know, and... he was a Hall of, he's in the Baseball Hall of Fame. That's how good of a catcher he was. But he's also known for some of the kind of funny, quirky things he said. And that's what we call yogiisms, okay? And we're kind of using those as a focus last week, today, and the next 2 weeks. So let me give you some examples. He one time says, "Thanks, you don't look so hot yourself." After being holed, he looked nice and cool.
That one takes a little while to sink in.
Somebody says, "You look nice and cool," and he said, "Well, you don't look so hot yourself." Or how about this one? He said, "You know, I knew I was going to take the wrong train, so I left early." One time his wife, her name was Carmen, she said to him, she asked him, "Yogi, you are from St. Louis. We live in New Jersey, and you play ball in New York. If you go before I do, where would you like me to have you buried?" And he said, "Surprise me." One time he was talking about the weather, and he pointed out something that many of us Delawareans maybe have said, but he said it with a twist. He said, it ain't the heat, it's the humility. It ain't the heat, it's the humility, and that's our focus for today.
Humility. You know, we find that word in Scripture in the New International Version 15 times, and in the English Standard Version 10 times. But actually, when we read Scripture, it is said on every page. It should be said 1,000 times, because Jesus was all about humility. Humility, leading a life with a humble spirit, is at the center of life with God. It's a God-centered life, God-centered living, humility. Mm.
So a little church history lesson here. In the early Christian church, back around 590 AD, Pope Gregory I created a list of 7 vices. And I don't think the church needed to know. I mean, they were doing the vices okay, but I think he created that to give them a corresponding list of 7 virtues. And so example was the vice of lust. And then he offered the virtue would be chastity. Avarice, that's an old word, so greed, was paired with charity, while sloth or laziness was paired with diligence. Envy, the vice of envy, was paired with the virtue of kindness, and wrath was paired with patience. So we have the vice of pride. And what do you think the virtue for pride is? Humility. There you go. There you go.
So pride is at the very center of sin. Actually, what is the vowel in the middle of pride? P-R-I. What is the vowel in the middle of sin? S-I-N. So it's all about I. Pride and sin go hand in hand, and humility is the opposite of that. It's the antithesis of that. To live a humble life, a life of humility, is to live a life apart from pride, to separate ourselves from pride. And also, it's really important to not pride ourselves in being humble, because that's a form of pride.
So in his letter to the church at Philippi, the Apostle Paul encourages imitation of Jesus in terms of humility. And here's what Paul writes. Therefore, so there must have been something before this, but this is where we're starting today. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if you get anything from that, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy, the Apostle Paul's joy, complete by being like-minded, of one mind, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of what? Selfish ambition or vain conceit. In other words, quit pointing at yourself. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of the others. Yeah.
Wow.
Powerful.
That is. Humility. Paul says to value others above yourselves. The Apostle Paul, I love this book of Philippians. It is so full of right living, of direction, and how we need to walk out our relationship with God and with others. There's such empowering advice in the book of Philippians. We like the way Eugene Peterson paraphrases this in the message. Now remember, the message is not our study Bible. The message is a paraphrase of Scripture. It just gives us a little bit of a different look. Sometimes I have my Scripture, my NIV or my NLT or my NASB or whatever version I'm studying from, and it's like, what are they saying? And I might read the message as another way to help me understand. That's
they make a Bible. I've got one where they're parallel in the same book right next to each other. It's really cool.
But listen to how Peterson paraphrases this. If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being a community in the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. Love each other. Be deep-spirited friends. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet-talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand.
If you've gotten anything at all out of following Christ, don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside. Put yourself aside. And help others get ahead. Help others get ahead. Wow, forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. I heard an expression, one of the guys at conference was, I think it may have been the bishop, it was either one of the bishops. In their preaching, he said, be self-forgetful. Think about that. Be self-forgetful. That's powerful. That's challenging. Be self-forgetful. This turns our normal way of thinking on our head. It's a 180-degree turn. Just like most of what Jesus taught was 180 degrees from what our normal way of thinking was. Yeah. And you think, wait a minute. What kind of world would this be if everybody did that? Yeah, thank you. A not centered on me world. What kind of world would that be like? Well, it's the kind of world I'd like to live in. How about you? Yeah, but here's the thing. If we're ever going to have a world like that, you know where it starts? With me, with you, with Jesus through us, right?
Amen.
It's that simple. Amen. Yeah.
So a few weeks ago, we talked about our immersion trip when we were in seminary, when we were honored to go to Korea. Excuse me. And part of that trip, we went to the Hyundai plant. Now, Hyundai builds cars, but they're also built ships. In fact, in Korea, they were the sixth largest shipbuilder in the world.
Yeah.
And so they showed us around, and I mean it was huge. And the guy that showed us around, you know, had these khaki pants on and a khaki jacket, you know, with you know just a name on it. He was just appeared to be a regular kind of worker on the line. He was very knowledgeable. And so we asked him a lot of questions along the way, and he was able to answer them. And one of us said, like, do you manage this building? And he goes, oh, no. And so we kept going, and we were with him for quite a while. And they ended up, at the end of the tour, they took us to this huge banquet room, and they served us filet, which... we weren't eating filet at the time, so it was really, really good.
Ever.
And we still don't a lot, but it was really, really good, and it was really, really a blessing. But what we found out was this guy was number three in the entire organization over Hyundai. I mean, huge. And we're thinking that he's like, one of the
like a worker.
Line workers. And... it blew our brains up because the humility that we saw was like, wow, he did not have like this self-importance. It was all about the guests, all about the guests. And I remember little bits and pieces about the tour, but what I really remember is this guy. It was a long, long time ago that we were there, but it's this guy and his humility that reminds us what it looks like even after all these years.
Yeah. Wow. I read an article the other day in a newsletter called The Great American Pure Fix Insider. So they do Christian films, I think, and stuff like that. And this was some articles. And this article was talking about Jesus' life and how his life was a life of humility from, well, actually before the beginning to the end, start to finish. Right there at the beginning, Jesus humbled himself. I mean, you know, Jesus, the person, yes, started birth of Mary, but that second person of the Trinity had been here forever. No beginning, no end, you know. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has been here from before time. When in the Bible it says, in the beginning, well, they were there in the beginning, because they were there before the beginning, and the second the person of the Trinity was part of that. He humbled himself through this birth, leaving the perfection of heaven. Now, we look forward to heaven. Who's looking forward to heaven? Yeah, if you're not, we need to talk to you afterwards. Would anybody look forward to going from heaven back here to this place? Hello. No. But that's what Jesus did. He's in heaven, and he chooses to come here, leaving the glory of glories to join you and me. Hello. In our everyday, in our iniquities, in all of our junk right here on earth. He's born an infant, not in the palace of a prince, but in a stable like a servant, next to the sheep, goats, and cows, and all the stuff they bring with them. I'll leave it at that. This Son of the Most High God came to us, dependent on earthly parents, to meet his earthly needs. God didn't choose a family that had wealth and position, but instead one that was every day, an ordinary, everyday family. He was born one of us. Yeah.
Philippians 2, verses 6 and 7. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset of Jesus Christ. Another version is to have the same attitude of Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness.
You know, sometimes I think it's easy to forget that Jesus is God. You know, being in human form, he looks like us, he talks like us. And if we're not careful, we focus more on the 100% human than on the 100% divine. But it's important to remember, especially when we're talking about humility, this is the second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. This is part of the creator of the universe. The Alpha, the Omega, the Bible tells us. The first and the last, the beginning and the end. Before the beginning, after the end. This divine being stepped down from all that for 30 years, 33 years, to meet us, you and me, face to face, eye to eye, shoulder to shoulder, to walk with us, talk with us, listen to us, eat with us, drink with us, laugh with us, cry with us. Remember the scripture, John 11:35? Jesus wept. Jesus in response to Mary weeping for her recently deceased brother Lazarus. You know, he cried with us and he laughed with us. He was right there, leaving heaven to be in the day-to-day.
And he was born into a working-class family, not into wealth and position. He was a carpenter. That meant he worked with his hands before he began his public ministry at the age of 30. And when he ministered to others, he did so in such a humble way. He traveled light. He told his disciples to do the same as they went place to place. Throughout his life, he lived as he taught, and he taught humility. One of the things he taught was in Luke chapter 18. Jesus talked in parables, which are stories that give a deeper truth. So he taught about humility through a parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector.
Yeah. If you remember, Pharisees were those who were very focused on the law and not necessarily they're focused on everybody else following the law. So here we go. To some who were confident of their own righteousness, confident of their own goodness in God, their own God rightness. And look down on everyone else. Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, one of the guys he was talking about, to some who were confident of their own righteousness, looked down on everyone else. That's who he's telling this to. Two men, one Pharisee and the other tax collector. Now, you know, the tax collectors were, they were crooks, they were resolute. The more they could collect, the more was in their pocket. So they collected as much as they possibly could. So they were considered scoundrels, they were considered cheats, and they always were called sinners. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. Robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector right here. I fast twice a week, and I get give a tenth of all I get. Yeah. But the tax collector, this guy that everybody thinks is so bad, he stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus said this then. He said, I tell you that this man, this tax collector, this guy that you all think is so bad, rather than that guy, that Pharisee, that self-righteous guy, this tax collector went home justified, made right before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be, and all those who humble themselves will be, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Well, that parable pretty much speaks for itself, doesn't it? Jesus, he was the very Son of the living God. He had every reason. I mean, Jesus, if anybody had reason to have a little pride, how about him? Or to be, you know, hey, I'm Jesus. He didn't do that. He said, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? Remember when he knelt down and washed the feet of his disciples? What a shock that was. Can't imagine being in the room that night. Jesus kneeling down, wiping their feet? Oh my goodness. So, the ultimate of humility is when he chose to die for us. And in that process, he was whipped, spit on, beaten, hung on a cross between two criminals, one on his right, one on his left. He didn't like say, wait a minute, this isn't fair. He didn't, you know, say his rights. Hey, I'm the Son of God. He just was quiet. I mean, he knew what his mission was when he came. And oh my goodness. He led the life of the suffering servant. That's who Jesus was, the suffering servant. I love Isaiah talks all about the suffering servant. Great book. Jesus constantly faced rejection, shame, and he offered himself in humility in the end for you and for me, so that we could live here forgiven and free and releasing our burdens and our cares and here on earth and in heaven, be with Jesus. The ultimate act of humility.
He shared another with the disciples there that was really interesting. He said,
"Where
the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you." They were encouraging Moses' law. I mean, it's important stuff. Jesus said, "I didn't came to change the law. I came to fulfill it." But do not do what they... You ever remember, don't do what I say, you know what? That's kind of what Jesus... They do what they tell you, but don't do what they do. Because they don't practice what they preach. They're telling you one thing and they're doing something different. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads, so to speak, and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Okay? Everything they do is for people to see. They make their phylacteries. Those are little boxes. You still see some Jews with that, Orthodox Jews. It has scripture verses in from Deuteronomy. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, that's in that phylactery. But they wear big ones, so it looks like they're special. And the tassels on the robe, the longer the tassel, the more pious I am. Tassels on the garments, long. They love the place of banquets, the place of honor, and the most important seats in the synagogue. They want to be seen. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and be called rabbi by others. But you're not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you're all brothers. And you don't call anyone on earth father. I had somebody one day say, "Can I call my dad father?" "Yes, you can call him." It's to remember who your father is. Don't be calling these spiritual leaders father. That's, no. You got one heavenly father. Nor are you to be called instructors, because you have one instructor, and that is the Messiah. That'd be me, he said. The greatest among you will be your servant. And here we have it again. For those who exalt themselves will be, and those who humble themselves will be. So here's the question. Why is this so hard? Because we're human. Thank you. Because, you know, what makes us think we're all that in a bag of chips? You know? Because we're human. You know, here's the thing. If the second person of the Trinity, if God in the flesh could be humbled, the living Son of the Son of the living God could express himself with humility, why is it so hard for us? Because we're human. And there's a word for that. I think, Carrie, and we come back to what we started at. P-R-I-D-E. Pride, a feeling of deep pleasure or satisfaction provided from one's own achievements. It's all about me, baby. Or maybe the achievements of others who one is closely associated with. You know, I can get some of my pride from Wakiri, you know. Well, stay close to a little rub off there, yeah. Or from qualities or possession that we widely admire.
I want to say something.
Uh-oh. Oh, my gosh. I'm leaving. I'll see you guys later.
You know, when I started in ministry 30 years ago, there weren't a lot of women. And It's kind of a hard road. Most churches.
By the way, I didn't write this, okay?
No,
I didn't write this.
This
part.
Is off script. There weren't a lot, and nobody wanted a woman as their lead pastor. When God called us to start this church, Alan said, okay, it's going to be Carrie and Alan Jones on our business cards. It's going to be Alan and Carrie, so that there's no confusion about who's in charge. We're both co. But if it had been him first and me, there would have been an assumption. And in humility, Alan, I thank you for setting yourself aside and allowing me to thrive in ministry, and especially this past weekend. I was like blown away at the opportunities that I had to lead. You helped me get there, so thank you. When we talk about pride, we're not talking like it's okay to be really happy and feel pride in one another and what, like Erin, our oldest daughter, she was the drum major for the Seaford High School band.
And Erin's already heard this, so it's, you know, it's okay.
But she didn't hear first service, so she was she was like, what's she gonna say? So, but when she would get up on that thing, the ladder, and direct the band, and then turn around to the crowd and do that salute, I just wanted to like, that's my girl, that's my daughter. Like, I was so, I felt such pride for her. It wasn't like, it was an appropriate pride, I believe. Now, if I went and said, no, my daughter's a drummer, that's not right. But I was I was happy. That other no, kind of pride is hubris, and that's ugly. That is not good. That's excessive pride, self, that's being arrogant, that's putting yourself above others. And the Bible's really clear on that. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. With humility comes wisdom. Here's where we get wisdom. By looking at Jesus, by reading the Word, by seeing what God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit teaches us, leads us, guides us. And humility is submitting to that. Submitting to the direction that we have. It's having God perspective. Pride is having our own perspective. And seeing the world through our eyes instead of God's eyes.
So can we find humility on our own? Well, we're human, so it's doubtful. We're too human. But with God's help, my favorite verse, all things are possible. All things are possible. With God's help, we can start looking at the world through God eyes. Have you ever done that? I've done that. I wish I'd do it more often, but hey, I say, okay, I'm going to look at the world through God's eyes today. And it's like, wow, this is pretty cool. I feel totally different because I'm not looking at it. What about me? Yeah. With God's help, I can focus less on me and more on you. With a Christ-centered perspective. With God's help, I can take myself out of the center of things and start focusing on Christ first, then others, then myself. Joy. Jesus, others, you. Joy. Are you able to face your pride and ask God to help you find humility? That can be a painful thing, but it's really valuable. We're going to take a couple minutes here and do a little ego check. A little ego check. Search in your heart, your soul. Just look inside yourself for a couple minutes. Looking to kind of dig out that hubris that Carrie talked about and say, Lord, help me to be less about me. What is it that I'm clinging to in meedom?
Meedom.
Yeah. There you go. There's a new one.
That's a new word. Needham.
And more like about Udom. There you go.
How about Heedom?
And Heedom. Heedom, Udom, Needham. Let's take a couple minutes. Sorry that wasn't much time, but maybe you got started. Take it home with you. You know, this wouldn't be a bad idea maybe every day or two to just say, Lord, help me get out of myself. I know I can use that for sure. Maybe you can too. You know, realizing humility in our lives, could we mean we have to go through some significant changes? Maybe some losses, some transformations. Finding humility isn't fun, but it's necessary. It's necessary. Are you ready to sacrifice your pride in exchange for humility in order to get you closer to finding that image of Jesus Christ in you? That's the question. You know, I'm focusing on this, That's the good news. Amen. Let's believe it. Let's live it. Let's pray. And most holy God, we just I thank you for this message today, for what you give us. And it's so easy to get caught up in ourselves. Please help us to remember to shift that focus to you and to your people around us. And remember the humility of Christ. The exalted will be humbled and the humble will be exalted. Please help us always to realize humility. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we pray. All those gathered said, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people with Jesus and the new life he offers.